Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke in chapter 11. Glad to have you here today. Been a wonderful conference. Amen. Luke in chapter 11. Great. Luke chapter 11. Well, I hope you have taken all the sessions in. And it's so easy to come here and try to get caught up here or there, and they work so very, very hard on this conference. And last night, Brother Chapel did a phenomenal job, and then this morning, Brother Getz, I think all of us just sat there and just listened and listened and listened. And here's what I think of when I hear that. I think of all the students that I've sent here, I'm glad they get to hear those men on a regular basis. And I believe this. A church, I know myself, a church, we just graduated some here this last year. So a church has invested in, 12, 13, 15, literally some born in our nurseries, 18, 19 years in someone's life. Then they go off to college. Well, I'm glad then after that foundation, there's someone that's still out there sharpening and helping and that put that final edge on them. So I certainly appreciate Lancaster Baptist Church. And I certainly appreciate Lancaster Baptist College. How many know Brother Bishop? He's a layman here at the church, Brother Bishop, and a bearded gentleman. He's got he makes coffee nervous. That's how he is, all right? And he came to me. My son was a graduate from here, went off and got his master's, and then he worked on my staff for 10 years, my son. And then he was asked to be hired on here. And every once in a while, I have to clarify that. Brother Chaplin and I have been friends now for 27 years. I think I've preached here over 200 times now through camps and conferences and men and boys and all the other stuff. So we're very, very close. And so Brother Bishop comes up to me this week. He says, "Hey, thank you so much for sharing your son." I said, "Sharing nothing. You got the whole thing now. I don't get to see him at all." So they don't believe in sharing down here, I'll tell you that much. How's that sound? Let me make just a couple introductory statements about prayer. If you pray every day, then it's hard not to allow prayer to become redundant. Sometimes, well, it's just a list. Hey, I wouldn't mind Tom Williams reading my name on a list. I wouldn't mind Paul Chapel reading my name on a list. And yeah, I think we have to fight this this redundancy as far as our prayer life. And maybe I'll just try to give you an idea or so that helped me. I was busy in the ministry, and I was trying to continue to work my prayer life. And I'll say this, my prayer life, the most difficult aspect of my Christian walk is my prayer life. This year I'll teach 20 years at a Bible college teaching prayer every year. But I have to work on my prayer life. One busy stretch of time, I remember I was just trying to get the extra time away with God and you know, get that time scheduled in. And God said to me, "Son, I don't want to be an appointment. I want to be a person." And that helped me. I don't have to schedule God into my day. I don't have to schedule God into my time. And I realized, and I need to do something to keep things fresh, to keep things real, and hopefully maybe today is about building a prayer life will be a help in some way. It's kind of like sowing. It's more caught than it is taught. And maybe you'll catch something today to be a help. I've been married 36 years, and I happen to get to preach a lot in camps and youth camps, and we host a camp ourselves. And I really know how I got into that venue of preaching to several teen camps all through the, especially summer months. But I can say this, every place I go, I always talk about my marriage. I've been married 36 years, and I say this because I think young people have a skewed view of marriage with the same gender marriage and then all the divorce and all the other stuff. And in my own personal life, that was the situation. My father was married 4 times. My mother was married 3 times. So there were 6 divorces there. And then actually my mother's murdered. She was killed by my stepfather. He committed suicide. And so there's a lot of difficulty in my home. So to me, outside my walk with God, my marriage is the greatest joy I have in my life. And so every place I go, especially young people, I tell them that all the time. I said, I hate to have you skewed on your thought about marriage, but honestly, marriage is a phenomenal gift. It is a treasure that's given by God. But I want you to listen to this little statement, okay? I wonder why my wife loves me. Because what I do for her or because I'm madly in love with her. See, prayer, we believe God is going to be real good to us in prayer if we do a lot of things. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think when God knows you sincerely love him. I mean, how many today got alone with God and just said, I just love you. If my girls growing up, I'd come home from work and they said, Dad, do you got a minute? Well, yeah, what do you need? I don't want anything. No, what do you need? I don't want anything. Come on. I just want to tell you I love you. What? I just want to tell you I love you. Here's what I say. Okay, you can have anything you want. Okay, what do you want? What do you want? It's the way it is with God. See, we believe God answers our prayer according to our merit, how much we get done. God answers our prayer according to his mercy. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Showed you how much he did for us. If there's any way possible, if I can make your prayer life a little more of a walk with God, it wouldn't be such a chore. Just spending time with the one who loves you most. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, would you allow me to help? And Lord, I know this, the most intimate time we have with you is our prayer life. Lord, it's the one that you look forward to. I believe you wait for us at that certain spot, at that certain time. Sometimes you see us walk right by you and we were busy that morning, we're busy that evening, we're too tired or too encumbered, and yet you waited for us the next day and the next day and the next day, and you did again this morning. And Lord, may we just take time, just to love you. You're a great God. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke chapter 11, please begin at verse number 1. And I'm going to talk very fast, okay? Very fast. You just listen fast. How's that sound? But don't get done before I do, okay? So Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus, in a certain place, I like that, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, I just make an observation here. I know he's talking about prayer, but a great thought about friendship. How many friends could you call at midnight? Of all your friends, how many could you call at 2 a.m. in the morning? It's amazing how God connotates this intimate relationship, this prayer relationship, that with a friendship. Verse number 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, watch this, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For every one that asketh, receive, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now you can kind of keep your fingers right there, and I'll try to get started on this thing, but Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And we use a quote, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. You don't use that. I always call it the model prayer. And Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. So how do we lay a foundation? Number one, how do we lay a foundation of prayer? Can you join me, please, in a little song? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? He first loved me. Just that chorus again. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I wonder how many times we've told him that today. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first. He loved me. Always turns around. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And he always says the same thing. Tim's talking to me. Tim's talking to me. It's Tim again. Every morning, he just tells me how much he loves me. Can you sing? His name is wonderful. Sing, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. What? His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's a great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Softly, so bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He loves hearing that. You know, the greatest commandment in all the Bible, you already know that one. It's to love the Lord thy God with all thy might, thy soul, thy strength, thy mind, to love him. That's the greatest commandment. Now, I wonder how many Christians, how many workers never take the time to just love him. Just love him. God is not near as interested in the work that I've done for him in the ministry as I am the many times I've just told him, I love you. And my wife became an invalid and could do no more work. But every day she told me how she loved me, my heart would still be warm to her. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I think we try to work ourselves in prayer. And now watch this. I believe in this Tim Work Rule. That's my middle name. I believe that. And I work hard. I'll never get to the point where I think God needs to listen to me because of how hard I work, but rather wants to listen to me because of how much I love him. Psalm 100 says it best, enter into his presence with singing. Can I just admonish everyone? You ought to get a song. I sing songs every single morning. Tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. Tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, your sunshine all the way. Tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in his sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Why? Because you first loved me. Now, I can spend 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes in prayer just singing. Oh, just singing. Enter into his presence with singing. You understand when they had the old-fashioned tabernacle and there you had those skins and you had the entrance and you had the Holy of Holies. And literally, if there's 600,000 men, if they're all married, they had 1.2 million, they all had a couple of kids. I believe there's 3 or 4 million people that left the Egypt, went into the wilderness, and they built that tabernacle. And there's that tabernacle in the center, and there's all those people living around this. So come to the tabernacle, and let's go meet God. And the Bible says, enter into his presence with singing. I never begin a prayer like, God, I need to talk to you. I need to come over here and answer my prayer right now. Because God always says, oh, excuse me, son. Hello. I'm God. How are you doing this morning? And my daughters ran to me and said, Dad, I need. I usually say the same. Hey, girls, how you doing? I'm Dad. Want to introduce yourself? How you doing? And into his presence with singing and into his gates with thanksgiving. Can we do it real quickly here, real quickly? It's always just something you're thankful for, something you're thankful for. Anybody here just raise your hand real quickly? Somebody say they're thankful for? Yes, sir. Church and family, yes, sir. Wife, good. Both of you. Oh, it's a different wife. Okay, good. Amen. Yes, sir. Pastor, yes. Glad to be saved. You're here? Good, good. Anybody else? Yes? Come on, grandchildren. I have 11 of them, all right? I'm now lower on the food chain. My wife lives. Everybody else besides me, okay? Somebody else have their hand up? Yes, sir? Congregation? Yes, sir? Salvation? Good. And we can go around the room. I don't know about you. Literally, may I make this observation to you? We need to be thankful for the unobvious. The unobvious. Okay, what does that mean? Did you thank God for your health today? Did you thank you see today? Do you thank God you could hear today? Do you thank God for America today? Do you thank God you had a copy of God's words? Do you thank God for the spirit that works inside of you? Do you thank God? Well, what I call the unobvious, because they're there every day. But I'll tell you what, you take your sight away for a day. You take your hearing away from a day. You give yourself a physical ailment for a day. You'll say, oh, thank God. Thank God when I have good health. Thank God I can see. Thank God I live in America. Well, it's just, then it's easy to thank Him for what I call the very obvious, right? Obvious, we get to be at leadership conference. Obvious, we get to hear a message like we did last night. Obvious, we got to hear a message like we did this morning. Obvious, we get to see our investments into a place to help all of us here. So there's a list of everyday obvious things. Brother Gibbs challenged me years ago to have a prayer journal. Here's what he said. I will not hire someone to not have a prayer journal. I thought, I better get a prayer journal fast. Amen, you know. And so in my prayer journal, literally every single day, this is a brand new one, I started just this last month, but every single day, watch this, I write down four or five things that I'm thankful for that happened the day before, and I get to come to Him and thank Him. On the next page, there's 42 things I'm thanking for every day. Every what? Because I don't want them to become unobvious. And so when we lay the foundation, we have to get the very basics first. We enter into His presence with singing. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And the Bible says this, enter into His courts with praise. You know, the number one prayer commandment, greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God. Number one most often commandment is to praise Him. Now, I know what happens. You know, you Baptist, you won't get too much into your praise life. I think the praise life ought to be there. So I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time you worshiped God? When's the last time you just worshiped God? When's the last time you raised your hands and said, God, what a holy God, what a great God, what a good God? Watch this. I love God not for what He does. I rather love God for who He is. Aren't you glad God's not a cranky God? I'd be dead a long time ago. I'd be scorned. I'd be chewed up. I'd be kicked out long time ago. Thank God He's a grace God. Thank God He's a loving God. Thank God He's a good God. All those things, just who He is. I love God for who He is. I love my Savior for who He is. Not just because He's my Savior. Not just because He paid my sins. Not just because He got me out of hell. Not just because He's taken me to heaven. I love Christ just for who He was. He was a lover of people. He was a lover of God. He is the mediator between God and man. I love Him. So it's just, if we just take a few moments and just sing a few songs, if we take just a few moments and give a list of the things we're thankful for just that day or just the previous day, hey, I may not remember them all, but I'm not going to forget them all either. And then we just take a few moments and say, look, what a great God you are. You're an amazing God. What's this? I've got 10, 15 minutes. I haven't really started praying yet.
Yeah. Amen.
And you wonder how. I don't know how to pray 10 minutes. I don't know how not to. He said, enter into His presence with singing, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise. Hey, before I get any place, before I ask Him for something, I'm going to take time and just love Him. The Bible says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. In your outline, laying the foundation, hey, hallowed be thy name. Make sure you sing, make sure you think, make sure you praise. So I encourage you, please, you got to get a song. You got to get a song. You got to make a thank you list. I got to get that prayer journal. I got to take time to praise Him. I love John Rice's teaching. He says, when I pray, I talk to the whole family. When I pray, I speak to the Holy Spirit. When I pray, I speak to the Father. When I pray, I speak to Jesus. The three separate identities, yet all one God. I thank Jesus for being my Savior. I thank the Holy Spirit for being my Comforter. And how much He takes care of me. And how much He keeps me in there. And how much He convicts me. And how much He helps me. But I love the Holy Spirit. Yet I love the Father. I'm glad He's great. I'm glad He's good. I'm glad He's all powerful. But the most thing I'm glad about, He's my Father.
Yeah.
He's my Father. If you've been in ministry any time at length at all, if you've been through some hardships, you know when David Gibbs is on your speed dial, you're in the ministry. Amen, you know. And I'm just saying, Lord, no, he's saying, he's my Father. He's not going to allow anything into my life that's not the best for me. Now, I've been in lawsuits, I mean multi-million dollar, and I've had my name on the front page of my newspaper, and I didn't feel like walking out in my town that day. I thought, God, He says, I'm your dad. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Lay in the foundation. Make sure you hallow his name. Let it be there. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, if we're going to go to God, we want as many people to go to him as we can. Now, I truly believe, I'm not arguing with you, but I truly believe that phrase, thy kingdom come, is we're simply praying for souls to be saved. Can I have just a quick thought here? If I go ahead 100,000 years, whatever it is, and I see heaven, the rapture's already happened, heaven's done now. There is a saturated population in heaven. There is a certain number in heaven. I think you understand that. If we go ahead in time, it's done, it's over. Earth is done, everything else. There's a number in heaven that got in there. And so that means we need to try to get everyone in there we can. But do you realize when that last soul is saved, we're gone. We're gone. How many of you have ever thought about that? I've asked the Lord, can I lead that last soul to Christ? I can't wait to do that. Sir, bow your head right now. If you'd like to trust Jesus Christ, I would. Dear Lord Jesus, I trust you, my Savior. And all of a sudden, that's the last one. We're raptured out. We're good to go.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most surprising look on his face. He says, this is real, isn't it? This is amazing. Amen, all right? Amen, amen. Now watch this. Thy kingdom come. Do you know that the vast majority of all people who die and go to hell are not mean, terrible, wicked, serial killers, murderers, rapists? They're just lost. They're just lost. I think how I ever got in, how I ever got to church. I'm so thankful out of 7 billion people that God saw fit to allow me to hear the gospel. I get on my knees and I say, Lord, don't let people die and go to hell. Thy kingdom come, Lord. I know when's the last soul saved. We all get to go. So, Lord, I'm praying for that soul to be saved today. I'm praying for Sunday morning's invitations. I'm praying for Wednesday's invitations. Lord, I'm praying for the missionaries. I'm praying for other churches. I'm praying for the gospels, the evangelists. But, Lord, I pray for that last soul to be saved. Lord, I just pray for people to know Christ as a Savior. But we need to give time on our knees and say, Lord, here's what I think about. I think in my town, which one's the closest to hell? Which one's going to die next? Which one's had the toughest night? Which one's going to go through the toughest day? And Lord, if I could be right there for them, if I could be the pastor, Lord, cross my path with the path of those that need you. Oh, God, please do so. Lord, I pray for them. Don't let them die and go to hell. Jesus, you died for them. That'd be a horrible investment to die for them, not use you. Father, that's your own son that you gave. And Lord, people need to be saved. God, please save souls. God, save souls. I'm saying every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I ought to pray for souls to be saved. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. First of all, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Number three, thy will be done. See, this is just a foundation. Let us see thy will be done. It's just a model prayer. You know, the biggest problem in my relationship with God is me. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I'm not going to try to elaborate about the will of God for your life, the will of God for my life. There is a revealed will of God. It's all written down in the Bible right here. I know I should go to church. I know I should live holy. I know I should be nice to my wife. I know I should be kind one to another. I know I should, and I can name 1,000 things. But Lord, I know this, that I want to live his will for my life. One day you're going to see the blueprint for your life, then God's going to put your life the way he lived it as an overlay on top of it. Mine started off real rough. I don't think I was on the same page, really. And then I saw God's will for my life, and I prayed every day, Lord, not my will. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Can I help you out? Just do this. Just pray for 24 hours. Just give this thought. Watch this. If you could live exactly the perfect will of God for 24 hours, if you could die and let him live, if you could decrease and let him increase, if you could get out, let him get in, get off, and let him get on. What's it? And for, here's what I said. Lord, for 24 hours, just 24 hours, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about next week. I'm not worried about the next conference. I'm not worried about the next camp. I'm not worried about the next. Lord, just for 24 hours, just 24 hours. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, fill my mind with your scripture. Fill my mind with your desire. And Lord, for 24 hours, may I just die to myself. And may you live inside of me. May I see the way you want me to see. May I hear what you want me to hear. May I do what you want me to do for 24 hours. Let me just live the will of God for my life just the way you do it. And tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and say the same thing. The next day I'm going to say the same thing. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I want to live his life. I want to see what it's like to see through his eyes. Boy, and God gave us his prayer. You don't think Jesus Christ had to do that? Jesus got up yet while it was yet dark. Jesus Christ went to the mountain to pray through the night. And I believe he just needed that filling of the Father. Lord, not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Number one, they're laying the foundation. A, hallowed his name. Sing, thank and praise. B, thy kingdom come. Pray for sowing. C, thy will be done. 24 hours a day, yield yourself to him. Number two, they're getting the infrastructure. Trying to use to build anything. Getting the infrastructure. Notice that there's seven instructions in the model prayer. Three are for God, four are for you. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Next, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Three are for God, four for us. Notice that God's praise comes before our needs. See, when you're really getting into prayer life, watch this. When you get into your prayer life, it's really not about what you need, it's about how close you get to him. I'll say it again. When you really get into your prayer life, it's really not about what you need. Now, I'll never excuse that. It's all about how close you are to him. I had a girl probably 4 or 5 years ago, was teaching this in college class, and she gave me a prayer request and just said, yeah, I want my prayer request back. I said, why? She says, well, I put down, I'm praying for a car. I said, for a young college student, that's pretty important. You need to pray for it. She says, no, I don't. I should have put that as selfish. I said, no, it's not selfish. She said, have you ever prayed for a car? Nope. Why? I've always had one. He's always been very good to me. Oh, the windows didn't go up like this, or they didn't go up. You had to push them up and tape them up. That, I mean, I don't, it's a car is a car, right? I'm not saying it's been a while. I just know this, if you walk with him, he takes good care of you. So now we go into this infrastructure, right? First of all, it says, give us this day our daily bread. It's probably the largest part of my prayer life, but it's just lists and lists and lists and lists of things my wife needs, my children need, protection, God's power. Illness in church. I had a lady just have surgery today, and I go on and on and on. So give us this day. Also, forgive us our sins. I'm not going to go into a lot about that. Give us, forgive us our sins. That's the only part of the model prayer that has the law of reciprocity. What's that mean? God will only forgive you the way you forgive others. You got to write this down. No one will ever successfully live with another unless they master the art of forgiveness. No one will successfully live with one another until they first master the art of forgiveness. Can I ask you a question? Why are we so surprised when people sin against us? Let me help you out. Just a good biblical illustration. The prodigal son. The prodigal son left his father, went into the world, and spent up his living. He came back. And the father ran to meet him. It's amazing because a lot of times when I counsel my folks in my church, maybe they're different from yours, but I have a mom and dad that are arguing, husband and wife that are arguing, then maybe the wife will come, and sometimes the husband will come and say, I'm sorry. And sometimes I hear the wife say, well, I'm not ready for that yet. Just leave me alone. I'm not ready for that yet. It seems like a lot of times you ask for forgiveness, people back up. It's not biblical. This son was coming home. The father ran to meet him. The moment we give a contrite heart to God, say, God, help me, God runs to us. There's this whole thing about backing up on forgiveness. Well, I'm not sure yet. Just leave me alone. I'm not quite over. I'm still hurt yet. It's definitely not biblical. In fact, what did the father give his son? He gave him a coat, a ring, sandals. What else? Go get that what? What kind of calf? See, the day his son left, that dad said, he'll come back. Take that best calf right there and put it over there. Ain't nothing around it. You feed that calf the best there is. So my father, when my son comes home, we're going to throw a party. See, he was ready. You know what's wrong in our church today? We got a lot of lean calves. See, we're not prepared to forgive. Thank God Jesus Christ is prepared to forgive. We can run against him all of our life long like the thief on the cross, not live a good day in our life for him. And yet when we ask for forgiveness, he is always right there for us. We need to have a reservoir of forgiveness for him. Give us this day our daily needs. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Can I pause for a minute? I wonder how many prayed that today. And yet, what's just Jesus Christ in his wonderful knowledge when he was asked by his disciples how to pray? He only gave us 7 instructions. Hallowed be thy name. I'm going to worship you and love you. Thy kingdom come. I'm going to pray. I get to see you soon. Thy will be done, not my own. Lord, we have needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And then lead us. There it is. Right there it is. God wants us to pray every day. Lead us not to temptation. The list gets bigger. Other people have fallen, hasn't it? I hate that. Sometimes I think people feel good. Well, I still made another time. And he fell and he fell and he fell and she fell. They're out and they're out. But I'm still in. I've never felt good about that. I'm always amazed. I'm still in. I had the horrible background. Everything is cesspool I try to get out of. And I see those guys trying to get back into it. And I pray, God, don't let me go there. Lead me not into temptation. Do you pray that? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do you really think you ever fall like that? Oh, I know I can. I know I can. I pray every day. Don't let that happen. I got a wife. I got 4 kids. They watch me. They don't need to read their daddy's little thing in the newspaper. They watch me. I pray, as Lord, today, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, keep me on the right path. And Lord, keep my eyes pure and keep my ears pure. And Lord, keep my thoughts pure. And Lord, help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me right there. James chapter 1 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. The Bible says, but every man is tempted. Temptation is not moral or immoral. Jesus Christ is tempted in every like manner. See, temptation is just a simple window of opportunity. The Bible says, lead me not to this. Lord, don't lead me through that window. See, every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from God's will. God has a home field advantage for you. I don't know if you're an athlete or not or ever worked out or anything like that, but there's something about home field advantage. Home field advantage. I played a lot of football, so I knew my field. Third quarter, watch this. Third quarter, lights start going dimmer, okay? That means the lights come down a little bit like that. It gets in your eyes. I don't want third quarter pass on the left-hand side. On the other side of the field, 20-yard line on this side over here, a broken sprinkler had been there for years, but I never got it fixed, a little mosh pot over there. I'm not running backs over there. How do you know it? Home field advantage. Home field advantage. God has a home field advantage for you to live with him. He says, look, every man is tempted. Tempted is over here. Tempted when he's drawn away. Drawn away from what? Your home field advantage. So God said, look, why don't you just pray? Lord, help me to stay in church. And Lord, help me to stay on my knees. And Lord, help me to stay in this book. Lord, lead me not in temptation. Then think about us as preachers. You know, when God wants to get to you or the devil wants to get to you, he'll get to your wife. You know, I've seen more wives falling out of the ministry than their husbands. And that kills me. That kills me. Satan can't get you, he'll get your kids. But do we pray for that? Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, keep my wife's mind pure. And Lord, don't let her get caught up in some of this stuff. And Lord, keep my children on the right, straight and narrow. And don't let her get caught up. Lord, please protect my children. Do we pray that? I want to have an effective prayer life. Hallowed be his name, that his kingdom come, his will be done. And Lord, give us our needs and help us to forgive. But Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, lead my wife not into temptation. Lord, lead my staff not into temptation. Maybe your lay people here likewise. Lord, lead my pastor not into temptation. Pretty wise to pray for your leadership. Pretty wise there. Then he says, last of all, in a model prayer, deliver us from evil. So three prayers for God: hallowed be his name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Four prayers for us: give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Remember Jack Hiles, all my soul, 30 years ago, taught on that. He says sin is what you do, and you receive the price of it. When you sin, you hurt yourself. When you sin continually and you live evil, you hurt others. It's one thing to do drugs, hurt yourself. It's another thing to sell drugs, hurt others. It's one thing to sin, hurt yourself. It's another thing to live evil and hurt others. Pastors leading people down the wrong road. Mom and dad's not praying for the children. We live a life that's not pleasing him. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Take your Bibles back to our passage, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. This session is over at 20 after the hour. Is that correct? 20 after the hour? Good. I'll just make sure. We'll be done on time. Luke chapter 11. I love this passage because I love the friendship part of it. Verse number 6, I'll just get in the middle of it. For if a friend of mine is in his journey and come to me and say, I have nothing to set before him, and he from within said to him, I have answered, trouble me not, for the door is now shut, and my children in bed with me, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now I thought about that. May I just say this to everyone here? Prayer is not complicated. It's just hard work. I could teach on prayer, preach on prayer anytime, and people never say, amen, amen, amen. They're always going, ooh, ooh, ooh. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
No one brags about their prayer life. I've literally traveled over a third of a million miles traveling to the college I teach at. 20 years doing it. I have taught prayer all 20 years. And I still have to work on my prayer life every day. I do. It's kind of humbling to admit that, but it's true. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is hard work. Last year was my best year of Bible. I read more scripture and more time in the Bible than any other year in my 58 years of living on this earth. I had my best, and I claim this year is going to be my best prayer year. And I have struggled and worked and struggled and worked. I'm going to tell you, prayer is not complicated. It's just hard work. Because Satan hates it. How many of you have ever prayed only to wake up 20 minutes later and thought, man, that's a long prayer life. Amen. So I walk when I pray. I need to. I need to do something. I need to keep myself alert. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I just give you three? You got three A, B, and C. Let me just give you three illustrations. First of all, Luke chapter 18, I'm not going to go there. It talks about a widow. A widow goes before the judge, and she troubles the judge. And she continually goes back there. And the judge says, not because I like delay, not because of anything else, but because she troubles me in her continual coming, I'm going to go and dismiss the case. You ever think about the word widow? This was a struggling lady. And she had to have a prayer answered. And she troubled him. And troubled him, and troubled him. If you're willing to take no for an answer, you'll usually get it. See, God is not near as interested in your circumstances as is your character. What's it? You go to jail, you get a good prayer life. And God doesn't mind leaving someone in jail or leaving someone in a heartache or in a pain. What's it? But now they're coming more to him. I preached 3.5 years downtown Cook County Jail, Chicago. And many men would come and they'd be getting out of the jail. They'd say, hey, Brother Tim, pray for me. I'm getting out of jail. Pray for court. I said, are you going to go to church this Sunday? And they even hesitate. I said, I'm not praying for you. Well, come on, Brother Tim, pray for us. I'm getting out of jail. I said, look, if you hesitate, but if you get out here, you're not going to go to church. Well, I'd rather see you staying here and go to church on Sundays. See, God is not near as interested in your circumstances as is your character. This widow had some problems with her circumstances, and so now she's now pleading. Another one's a lawyer. A lawyer just goes to God and says, Lord, he's our advocate. You've done it before. You've done it for another person. But one on emphasizes his friend right here. See, his friend had a need because his friend had a need. And so you have to visualize, he's coming to knock on the door. And the guy says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And the man says, well, I know, but I got to talk to you. I know what's my kids are in bed. What's my kids are in, just leave me alone. You know, so I know I need you to leave you alone, but you know, I need to have my prayer answered. I've got somebody over here that needs something. I'm their friend. I've got to have your help over here. And the guy inside gets upset and says, look, just leave me alone. I'm in bed. I ain't getting up. My kids are right here. Now, just leave me alone. And the man outside just says, look, I can inconvenience all I want. All I know is I need to have you come. I need to have a need met here. You need to go ahead and answer what I have here. Now, I'm not going to give up knocking here. I've got to do this. I've got to do it. Hey, I'm not going to leave you alone until you answer my prayer. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You know, prayer just takes hard work. And you got to go to God and say, God, I'm not going to leave you alone until we get this church built. I'm not going to leave you alone until we get this building done. I'm not going to leave you alone until we build the bus. I'm not going to leave you alone until I see people's lives. Hey, God, I'm not going to leave you alone. I've got to have an answer to prayer. Hey, God, you got to help me. Come on, God. You got to help me. I'll tell you what, God answers that prayer. He does answer prayer. And let me just show you why I believe that. Look at this last verse, right? Verse 13. And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the what? Give the what? To them that what? I'm not being facetious here. Just help me out. I got one little point after this we're done. Was Monday night's message a good message? Did it convict you? Did John Getz's message this morning convict you? Please don't ever take this wrongly, and I hope I never say it wrongly. See, the reason Jesus Christ was different. In fact, Luke chapter 4, I'll just show you. Luke chapter 4, real quickly. Just a couple pages away. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. We got 4 or 5 minutes. We're good. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the land, region round about. And he taught in the synagogues and being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day to first stand up and read. There was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to them that are blind, set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the scepter to you, the Lord. Watch this. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. All the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, not the minister. And he began to say, and then today is the scripture fulfilling your ears. I love this question right here. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they said unto him, is not this Joseph's son? Look at that question. Is not this Joseph's son? Can you look up here? I'll put it all together. I don't think they're really asking about Joseph's ancestry. I don't think they're really saying, is this Joseph and Mary's boy? I think what they're saying, who is this man? Who is this man? Because he speaks like no man ever speaks. Well, what is that? Well, it said there that he walked in the power of the Spirit and he was anointed. Yeah. Look up here. It's just, I'm going to help you. Anointed. You know who has it and you know who doesn't. Yes or no?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. And if you ask, I shall give you the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just not asking out of the Holy Spirit. That's I'm not preaching without you. I'm not teaching without you. Because I'll just blow some words up there. They won't mean a thing. And I won't reach anybody. And my words will fall to the ground. And they won't remember. There's no conviction. But I know this, God, if you get in on this thing, and if you get on this thing, something's going to happen. And you're going to change lives and touch hearts. I'm not going to go out there on my own. I've got to have your power. I've got to have your Spirit. I want your anointing, God Almighty. I'm not going to live it. God, you got to help me. Come on, God. You got to help me, God. You got to help me. Building a life of prayer. All the way through that model of prayer, for thine the power, the kingdom, and glory forever and ever. What's the last word? Amen. I'm done. Here's that last thought. That last word is amen. That last word is what?
Amen.
And Jesus just taught us how to pray. 7 instructions. He just taught us how to pray. The last word he said to use is amen. What does amen mean? Surely, thou shalt be, so be it. Here's, I know none of you watch TV, okay? I'm sure you don't, okay? So I know that. There's a TV series on called Gotta Be Smarter Than A. Yeah, I knew you didn't watch TV, okay, but that's okay, so. And then they used to hit that button and say, that's my final answer. You know what that button means? Amen. When you prayed this morning and got done, could you hit that little red button saying, that's the way it's supposed to be done right there? So be it. Amen. Many times I pray I couldn't hit that red button. Honestly, I couldn't hit the red button. But if I'm sick in this thing and build this life of prayer by laying that foundation and taking time to love Him, thank Him, praise Him, then yielding myself to Him, praying for others, praying for needs, forgiving people. And the very end says, you know, I think I've done what you want me to do. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, these folks have been very, very kind today to come and to listen. And Lord, I know about last sessions and weariness and up late and up early. But may I just say this, I appreciate them. They've been very kind to me, allowing me to speak a little bit. But I pray that our prayer life will not be a chore. I pray that you be more than an appointment, that we treat you like a person. As you say, I can't wait to spend time with you. So I want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you how good you are. So I want to thank you for all you've done for me. After I've done all those things, you'll whisper to us, what can I do for you, Tim? What can I do for you, son? You know, I really don't want anything today. I just want to spend time with you. That's all. That's all I wanted today, is to spend time with you. Thanks for being a great God. Sure do love you today. Lord, help something here and someone here to take something with them. Help our prayer life. You've been a great God. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, folks. You've been very kind. You're dismissed. Thank you.